Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about hip-hop, R&B, rap, and soul music, and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and 2000s. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. On this episode, what I want to talk about is rookies in hip hop. More specifically, the rookie year in hip hop and who would have been deemed the rookie of the year. Now, I know at some point in time, if you follow hip hop, some awards were given to what they would deem the rookie of the year. And I think the Source magazine, and the Source Awards, the now defunct Source Awards, used to name a rookie of the year as far as like someone who was new in the game as far as hip hop is concerned. And it usually covered the artist from the time that we first heard them and their buzz leading up until their first album, and subsequently just their up until their first album and the release of their first album and the success of that particular first album. Or albums. And so what's interesting is, I think when you start talking about who had the best rookies of the year candidates, you have really a mixed bag, but it's only within a certain window. And the reason being is that as you moved from the 90s, the mid to late 90s into the early 2000s, that was going to be your window. Because what happened after that, as you get into the early, probably mid-2000s, the advent of technology and the internet and the way that music was released, you got a chance to see artists more up close and personal, and you got to hear their music on a regular basis, and there was really no lead or build-up to their catalog or who they became or who they were introduced as. And I'll use, for an example, Snoop Dogg. If you were around in the early 90s, you got a chance to see Snoop Dogg on the Deep Cover soundtrack with Dr. Dre. And then subsequently, he was featured on The Chronic. And I want to say both of those were in 1992. And then by 1993, Snoop's debut album, Doggy Style, comes out. And that's his run as far as like his rookie of the year time. And there was a huge buildup for Snoop, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. He's on this list that I'm going to provide to you. But yeah, so it's about that type of time. As you moved into the 2000s and from the mid-2000s on, you really didn't have that type of deal. You normally just got an artist and you got them, and there was no lead up as far as their music was concerned. So all of that brings me to today's topic. Which I got from the homie King Germ from Pod and Saved Our Marriage podcast. Check them out. Check him and his wife, Queen Germ. They do a podcast called Pod and Saved Our Marriage. It drops every Friday, wherever you get your podcast. He posted in our group chat on Instagram this meme that he saw. And I think he got it from this site called The 90s, though. THEE90STHO. That's how you spell it. It's called The 90s, though. And he follows them, I guess, on Instagram. Or maybe he just cut and pasted it. But in the meme, it gave the top 10 rookie of the years in hip hop. And so I want to share with you guys this particular meme and then have some discussion about it. I can't really say if it's right or wrong. I think most of the participants they have on here are solid. Where you place them is up for debate. So with that being said, let's get to it. At number 10, Mace, 1997. Now, if you're familiar with Mace, right now is a pretty well-known podcaster. But before he was being a podcaster with his boy Cam, Mace was known as Murder Mace, and then subsequently Mace from Children from the Corn group, crew, I should say. And then, you know, subsequently his release on Bad Boy. He was Puff's right-hand man, particularly after Biggie died in 97. Mace had a really big lead up. He was featured on quite a few songs up until his debut album Harlem World dropped that particular year. So, you know, Mace at 10, I think that's pretty safe to put Mace there. Number 9, Jeezy, 2005. Man, listen, Jeezy was Jeezy for me seemed to come out of nowhere. He was in the group Boys in the Hood, which was subsequently produced by, I think it was on the Bad Boy South label. But I remember him being in the group, and I remember hearing the Boys in the Hood. I think it was a mixtape. But to me, I don't think Jeezy stood out. I think Jody Breeze was better, at least to me he was, on the mixtape. But by the time Jeezy gets his solo thing going, he teams up with a young Gucci Mane and they produce the hit Icy, which is still one of my favorite joints from Jeezy. And then that leads to Jeezy's debut album, Thug Motivation 101. Crazy album. I mean, listen, Jeezy was one of those ones that literally and figuratively put this city of Atlanta, which is where I live, on his back. So shout out to Jeezy. I got no problem with him being at number 9. Number 8, Nelly, 2000. I'll be honest, this is a little bit of a head scratcher for me because I don't necessarily remember Nelly's lead up. Now, when he hit the ground running, I just don't remember a lead up or build up for his music. I do remember his debut album, Country Grammar. And him and the Lunatics, and they were coming out of St. Louis, which up until that time really didn't have a lot of national hip hop recognition. I mean, like, we always knew that hip hop was very viable in the city of St. Louis, and they had some artists, but nobody that I can think of off the top of my head that broke nationally and was really, really big. So Nelly had a certain look with the Band-Aid under his eye. He had a certain sound. He's from the Midwest, and so it was popping. And so when that album dropped, it caught on like wildfire. I'll be honest, I never bought the album. I don't think I ever heard Country Grammar all the way through, but I think that album went diamond, which means it sold like 10 million copies. So is he worthy of this list? Yes. I don't know that I would necessarily have him at 8, but, you know, you can argue with that. coming in at number seven is Lauryn Hill, 1998. Now, this one, I can make a case that her rookie year isn't 1998. 1998 is the year that she dropped her solo album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, but it's not her rookie year. Keep in mind, Lauryn Hill had already been on the first Fuji albums, which was called Blunted on Reality, and then their second album, which was their smash, The Score. So technically, she's really not a rookie at this point. I mean, and if we want to be honest, if we're keeping it 1,000, by the time The Score comes out and by the time Lauryn Hill drops The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, she's a household name. So I don't really, her rookie year isn't 1998. By 1998, she's a veteran. So I can make a case that she shouldn't be on this list, at least not for these particular years. Now, if you want to count when I think Blunted Reality, I want to say came out in 95. If you want to count that and you want to count The Score, okay, maybe she makes the list and maybe she's a little higher or a little lower. I don't know. But no, you can't. For 98, by 98, Lauryn Hill is not a rookie anymore. She's a vet. Number 6, Kanye West, 2004. I think you can make a case that he definitely should be on this list, and I think you can make a case that he could be right here. Kanye at that particular time was known for his production more so than his rapping. But by the time, you know, his debut album, The College Dropout, comes out, he's on a lot of different songs on Rockefeller. He's producing and he's building up a name. And what's interesting is, like, I always go back to the fact that Jay-Z and Dame Dash didn't think of Kanye as an MC. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast and enjoy the vibes. See, they saw him as a producer, and the ultimate plan was that if they had to, they would just put a Kanye album out and let other Rockefeller members rap over it with him, just to save the songs, because they didn't really view him as a rapper. And Kanye's a pretty good rapper. Now, full disclosure, I don't like Kanye, at least not anymore. But that early Kanye, yeah, I love Kanye. The first three albums, I mean, you could make a case that he had one of the best three album runs ever. But I stopped rocking with Kanye a long time ago, so I try not to talk about him. But for this particular discussion, he is definitely worthy of being on this list and definitely worthy of being at number six. Number five, Nas, 1994. Yes, and yes. as many of you know, I think Nas is the second greatest lyricist of all time. He was someone that was billed as the next one, the next king, the next Rakim. And from his debut on Live at the Barbecue and back to the grill again with Third Base. And then we get his first album in 1994, Illmatic, which I think is one of the greatest albums in hip hop history. You could make a case that, yeah, he is definitely worthy of this list. I could make a case that he probably should be a little higher, but that's just me. I'm biased. Oh, sue me. Number four, the Notorious B.I.G., 1994. Yes. Biggie definitely deserved to be upon this list. Biggie's rookie season, if you will, started with him kicking songs like Party and Bullshit, the Dolly My Baby song, and then subsequently leading up to his debut album Ready to Die on Bad Boy Records. Biggie had a crazy buzz in the streets, and there was a really rush and push to get Ready to Die to consumers, because he was everywhere and Biggie was going to be the next star. So I personally will make a case that Nas's rookie year was better, but if you got Biggie at four, if you got Nas at five, you got to have Biggie at four. Number three, Dark Man X, 1998. If you don't know who Dark Man X is, he is better known as Earl Simmons, better known as DMX, the late great DMX, 1998. DMX definitely is worthy of this list. You could make a case that DMX could be at one. The man not only dropped his debut album, but his second album, both within the calendar year of 1998. And if I'm not mistaken, both albums went platinum. And I think at that particular time, he was the first and still may be the only artist to drop their first two albums back to back within a calendar year that go platinum. I mean, that was unheard of. Man, I miss DMX, man. I miss the dog. Yeah, he's definitely worthy of being on this list. And again, you can make a case that he should be higher. Number two, Calvin Brodus Jr., a.k.a. Snoop Dogg, 1993. I mentioned him a little earlier. I stand by what I said. I will make the case that Snoop should be number one. And the reason being is that there, up until that point in 1993, we had not seen a buzz like this. I mean, to the point where there was an immediate rush because some of his music was getting released and bootlegged on the street. I wish I had time to talk about how you bootleg songs, but that's another story for another day. Snoop had that, and he had charisma, and he was riding the wave of Dr. Dre. He was riding the wave of a murder trial eventually that he would be on. Snoop in 93, man, from The Chronic to Doggy Style, his debut album, which I tell the story all the time. Doggy Style was supposed to come out on a Tuesday. They had to push the date up because they feared that it was going to be bootleg to a particular Friday. And between Friday and Tuesday, the debut album from Snoop Dogg sold over 800,000 copies. I remember being in line at the Prince of Orange Mall in Orangeburg, South Carolina, where I was at school at South Carolina State University, on a Friday night in the line to get the album, because the record store had to open up at midnight so that they could sell it. And there was a line out the mall around the corner, people waiting to buy this album. And I mean, like, they had hundreds of copies, but it was just incredible. I'd never seen anything like it. People had to have this album, and Doggy Style did not disappoint. So Snoop's rookie year was incredible. I will make the case. I don't really have a lot of issues with this list, but I will make the case that Snoop should be number one. Coming in at number one, Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent, 2003. Listen, if Snoop's buzz was here, 50 Cent's buzz was just slightly below it. I mean, there was not anybody hotter than 50 Cent. He was, and the great thing about 50's rookie year was that he benefited from the internet. He was one of the first to benefit from the internet because we were able to get his music. We were getting it on the internet, and his mixtapes, his songs on mixtapes were hot. The legend, if you will, of 50 Cent had grown because he was this guy coming out of Southside Queens. He had been shot 9 times. He lived to survive it, and he could rap about it, and he could rap. And, you know, he was co-signed by Eminem and Dr. Dre. So, I mean, that was a marriage made in heaven. He could do no wrong. And by the time Get Rich or Die Trying comes out in 2003, it is everywhere. And when I tell you it's everywhere, it was everywhere. It was in February of 2003. I'll never forget it because it came out the same weekend as All-Star Game weekend. And All-Star weekend, the NBA All-Star weekend was here in Atlanta. And you could not walk anywhere that weekend and not hear Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent's debut album, bumping from someone in a passing car. 50 Cent's rookie year was incredible. I will maintain that Snoop would be a little bit higher because I think Snoop preceded that. And I think 50 got the benefit of having the internet, where Snoop probably got the benefit of word of mouth. But taking nothing away from 50, 50's run was crazy. And his rookie year was insane. And he followed it up with an incredible album, an incredible debut album at that. So like I said, most of the people, with the exception maybe of Nelly, I can make a case for Nelly. I can't make a case for Lauryn Hill. And I love Lauryn Hill. Y'all know how I feel about L Boogie. So of everyone that's on this list, number 10, let me go back through it again. Number 10, Mace. Number 9, Jeezy. Number 8, Nelly. Number 7, Lauryn Hill. Number 6, Kanye West. Number 9, Nas. Number 4, the Notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Biggie Smalls. Number 3, DMX. Number 2, Snoop Dogg. And number 1, 50 Cent. Again, I can make a case that Lauryn probably shouldn't be there because Lauryn's rookie year does not include 1998. Lauryn's rookie year is probably a lot sooner than that. But other than that, it's not a bad list. And I got to shout out King Jerm for posting it into the group chat. I will leave it here for you all to decide. Hit me up in the comments on YouTube. Hit me up on Spotify where you can leave a comment. Wherever you can leave a comment, I would love to hear your feedback. Let us know, did they get this right? Again, I don't know who the 90s though is, but you know, this is a pretty solid list. And of most of the lists that we normally see, this one's actually pretty solid. So you can't complain about that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. Excuse me. That's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday at midnight. If you haven't done so already, hit us up. We're on YouTube. You can follow it and subscribe there. Again, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until today. Hit us up on social media, Rap Soul Podcast, 12 Kyle across the board. If you want to contribute to the podcast financially, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Also, don't forget about the flagship station, the 12 Kyle podcast. We drop new episodes there every Thursday and every Sunday at midnight. You can find that podcast wherever you're listening right now. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.